Luke chapter 1, verse 39, an angel has already appeared to Mary and explained to her that she's been chosen of God to carry Jesus Christ in her womb and deliver him to the world. And when she got the news, she wanted to go talk to somebody, and usually a woman wants to go talk to another woman, and usually another pregnant woman. And so that's the framework that brings us up to verse number 39. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." What a beautiful portion of scripture. I want to preach on this subject this morning. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We've taken this Sunday just to stop and highlight our children's ministries, but Lord, also then very humbly come to you with a thankful spirit, a thankful heart. Lord, thank you for entrusting our church with these little ones. And Lord, thank you that we can read about Jesus Christ. And we will this morning. And we know this, Jesus truly did love the little children. And Lord, we want to be like him. We want to be like Christ. I pray, Lord, as the sermon is preached this morning, you'd help us all to first of all, count our blessings for the children that you've brought into our lives. And then also, Lord, that you would help us to shoulder the responsibility that comes with that blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I love the Sunday where we have our children's parade. I am somewhat envious when I watch the people that come in and get to deal with children. Now, most of you have never stood up here and looked out at you. But if you ever did, you would understand why it wouldn't be hard for me to trade y'all for some kids. Amen. And now, don't get me wrong, I love you, but didn't that look like fun? I mean, can you imagine getting to do that every week? Matter of fact, my dad said this one time from the pulpit, and I never forgot it. Brother John, raise your hand back there. Brother John Reiser, and I mean not just for a few years, but for a decade or two, him and Sister Terry went out there and ran our children's church. And Brother John preached to those kids every single week. My dad stood in the pulpit one time and said this. He said, Brother John Reiser, in the last, I don't remember how many years, do you remember how many years you were out there? Do you know? About 25 years they were out there. He said, in the last 25 years, he said, John Reiser preaching the gospel out in that building and me preaching the gospel in this building, John Reiser saw more people saved out there than he did in here. And by the way, it wasn't because Brother John was even a better preacher. He was just blessed with an age group that we get to see a lot of people get saved that at that age. How many of you were saved before you were 12 years old? 12 or younger, you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And my hand's up that. You know what that tells me? Jesus loves the little children. Jesus, I love that. We usually sing it in our Sunday school hour, but let's sing it now. Ready? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Preacher, why is it that Jesus loves the children? Well, I wanted to go all the way back to when Christ was delivered here on earth. Now look up here and let's think about this together. God could have sent his son to this earth in a variety of different ways. I've often said God could have sent him down on a glory cloud. He could have come at full age as an adult down on a glory cloud, and he'd have been just as much human, just as divine. God can do anything he wants to do. But you know what he chose to do? He chose to place his son in the womb of a young virgin Jewish girl and have his son delivered like any other baby would be delivered onto this planet. And you know what? He chose to allow his son to grow up through those toddler years. Amen. I don't think Jesus had the terrible twos. I mean, Mary had it made on that regard. Now, we know the Bible says she had at least three other children, and maybe they made up for it. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, Jesus was a baby, and then he was a toddler, and then he was in his adolescence, and then his teenage years, and then in his 20s. And I believe that during his 20s, one of the reasons, we know God had his timing's perfect, but one of the reasons that I believe that Jesus waited till he was 30 years old to go into the ministry is, you know what, as Jesus hits adulthood, we no more hear any mention of Joseph. And you know what, most people believe that Joseph passed away sometime, maybe during Jesus' teenage years. You know what, Jesus, you say, preacher, I'm going through something that nobody else knows about, nobody else has ever gone through. And let me tell you something, Jesus can relate to anything you're going through in life. He was in all points tempted and tested as we are, yet without sin. And guess what, that young teenage boy, maybe an 18, 19, 20, you know what he did? Since he was 12, he'd been following Joseph with his little toolbox, and he'd been being apprenticed as a carpenter. And that's why later on they said, isn't this the son of the carpenter? But some of them said this, is this not the carpenter? Because Jesus, you know what he did? He followed Joseph to work, and he learned a trade. And I think that when Joseph passed away, you know what? Jesus said, well, you know what? My mother and my young siblings is going to need somebody to get them to the finish line and somebody to take care of them. And Jesus just strapped on a tool belt. Come on, guys. I'm a little tired of people picturing Jesus and posturing Jesus before our young men and our young ladies as if he was some soft, effeminate individual. Jesus was a man's man. Okay, I worked as a carpenter's helper, okay? I did that for several years. And you know what? Jesus never one time looked over and said, plug in the skill saw. You know what he did? He took a saw and he did it the old-fashioned way. And you get around these carpenters that grew up doing it the old-fashioned way. I remember we used to have Brother Fry come to the church, and he spent his life being a carpenter. And every time as a teenage boy, I'd shake hands with Brother Fry, he'd just about crush me. You know what? Listen, you work with your hands. You do manual labor. You know what? Listen, guys, you can do all the exercise and calisthenics you want. There'll be nothing in the world get you in better shape than old-fashioned work. Just working. Well, I mean this. If we could transport back in time and we could see Jesus walking down the streets of Galilee as a 20-something man, as a man, one thing is he didn't have long, feminine hair. Look right up here. Okay, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and you know what? Jesus would not have done anything to shame the Father. And so, you know what? Just because Michelangelo and a few other painters decided to paint a picture of Jesus, you know, centuries after, and they never saw him. They didn't have a Polaroid photograph to go off of. Okay? What we better do is base our beliefs on the Word of God and not just what we want to believe. So you wouldn't have seen this long-haired guy walking down the street. What you would have seen was a man with some tools. I'm talking about as a 25, 26-year-old, stepping up, taking the responsibility, bringing home the money to take care of a family. Maybe on the way home every once in a while, taking a trip by the cemetery and looking down at Joseph, by the way, who wasn't even his real father. Okay, not biological father. God allowed him to be his father figure, but you know what? That didn't mean he didn't treat him with respect, and that didn't mean he didn't learn everything he could from him. And I think sometimes he stopped by Joseph's grave, and he stood there for a minute and thanked him for all that he taught him, and said and told him, "I'm doing the best I can, and I'm taking care of mom, and I'm taking care of the brothers and sisters." Amen. Amen. What I'm trying to say here is, though, watch this, folks. The Lord allowed his son to be raised as a child. Jesus loves the little children. Let me remind you of this morning. One time he was a little child. In this story, we see him. He's already been placed in Mary's womb. Mary's expecting at this point, in this place and time, placed there by the Holy Spirit of God. It's never been done before, never been done before that, never been done after that. A miracle, miraculous conception. We call it the Immaculate Conception. And you know what? She goes to visit her cousin and Elizabeth, who's expecting a baby. And you know who this baby is? You know who this boy grows up? Elizabeth, Zacharias. What man is this going to be? Who's he going to grow up and be? Anybody tell me? John the Baptist. I'm going to tell you what, here's two ladies that, man alive, they influenced the world by the children they brought into this world. And you know what? I'd hope that'd be the prayer of every parent here. Help me not just to raise children, but maybe raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May we raise them to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus was in the womb. Now, funny story. Let me just tell you, I think it's a funny story. Okay, Mary comes in. She calls for Elizabeth. I love the fact that it says that she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. You love that? Okay, she was here to talk mom talk, okay? She walked by Zacharias, probably nodded, and then went headed right to Elizabeth because these ladies had some things to talk about, amen? And the Bible says the babe leaped in her womb. It's talking about Elizabeth there. As soon as she heard the voice of Mary, who was carrying the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, that was believe was born about 6 months before Jesus, so she was farther along. You know, you ladies understand that, right? And you know what? John the Baptist was in the kicking and leaping stage, amen? And listen, I just want to say this, and I promise you, I'm not going to, but it needs to be said. This is one of the greatest sins that's happening in America today, the killing of unborn babies. Don't you ever use the word fetus around me, okay? There's no such thing. Hey, let me share this with you. Jesus was never a fetus. How about that one? I think we ought to make that into a bumper sticker, amen? Jesus was never a fetus. He was an unborn baby. He was already who he was going to be when he was placed to his mother's womb. How about that? 60 million babies, the United States of America have stood by. Say, preacher, it's lawful. No, it's not lawful. No law has ever been passed. It may be legal, but it's not lawful. We've circumvented our own Constitution the Constitution of the United States in order to legalize abortion. We've circumvented the Constitution of the United States in order to legalize homosexual marriages. If we'd follow the Constitution of the United States, it would never gotten done. Amen. I want to get some people back in Washington that have respect for the Constitution of the United States, amen. But I'm not preaching from that today. I'm preaching from the Bible, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, aren't you glad Mary didn't believe in abortion? Aren't you glad Elizabeth didn't believe in abortion? John the Baptist wouldn't have gotten born, you know, and wouldn't have been, but Jesus, isn't that something? Jesus. And so all of a sudden Mary walks in, and Elizabeth's standing there, and she hears the voice of Mary, and she goes to greet him, and all of a sudden she's done what every woman's done that's ever carried a baby, you know. And all of a sudden she went, oh, like that, because I remember when Cheryl was expecting our firstborn. And you know what, folks, now, come on, I'm not going to talk from experience, obviously, but the one thing I notice about my wife when she's pregnant is pregnant women have a hard time getting comfortable. Amen. I mean, you know, we'd go to bed, she wanted to lay on this side. Now, if she laid stomach away from me, it wasn't too bad, you know? All right? But then she'd only be able to lay that way so long, and then she'd want to flip over, and then, you know, there's a small Mount Everest between me and her, you know? And she'd cuddle up close as she could, and I'd about dripped off the sheet, sleeping, all of a sudden, something kicked me in the back, right in my back, something kicked me. You know, one of the babies was leaping for joy, amen. And so I want to remind you, we say, why are you saying these things? I want to remind you young people of something. Don't you fall for the lies that are being told you. We believe what we believe based on the Bible, on the Word of God. This is why when a nation goes away from the Bible, it always goes to the devil. It always goes to paganism. The Bible keeps us on track. The Bible teaches us what we're supposed to believe about all things. All things. And so, you know what we see? We see that Jesus loves the children while they're in the womb. We're talking about Jesus loving the little children. He loves them while they're in the womb. Number two, Jesus loves children while they're in the nursery. Look at Luke chapter number 18. I want to show you a couple things here. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. I'm not sure what the Lord's favorite room here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is, but I'm not sure that it's... And the Bible says we're two or three together in my name. There I am in the midst. That doesn't mean he's just in here. That means he's out in children's church. That means he's helping Sister Stephanie down in primary church. That means he's back there, right there in the nursery. Aren't you glad? So, preacher, do you have the properly trained nursery workers? Who is back there watching our kids? Jesus. Is that good enough for you? We have Jesus, all right? Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Look at this. And they brought unto him also, what's the next word? The little babies, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Go back one book to Mark chapter number 10. I want to read another account of the same story. And I want to finish the story. Mark gives us additional information. Remember this, folks, the Bible never contradicts itself. It completes itself. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he, speaking of Jesus, took them, talking about these infants, these young children, these little children, up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. To me, I'm so glad God included this in the Bible. I mean, can you close your eyes and picture this? Now, remember, you're not picturing a long-haired Jesus. You're picturing a short-haired Jesus, muscular, all right? He's a man. Listen, sir, well, I'm a man. I don't have time for babies. No, you're not. You need to redefine manhood. Okay, you need to get off of this macho, fake, pseudo manhood that the world's trying to promote. Okay, listen to me. I'm going to call you out. I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. You know what? You're not a man if you're there to help have a baby and then you decide to walk off and not raise that baby. Don't you talk to me about manhood. Don't talk to me about manhood, all right? And you know what? Jesus, here he is. By the way, he's the one that formed a whip in the temple. And said, they're not going to get by with turning the temple into a flea market. He went in and flipped over tables and beat people and pushed them out and ran the whole crowd out. You know what it takes to do that? It takes a man to do that. The Bible says one time that they got him up to a cliff and were going to push him off. And you know what the Bible says? He said he decided he wasn't going to be pushed off that day. And the Bible says he passed through their midst. Well, I think he disappeared. No, it doesn't say he disappeared. He just got to the point where he turned around and said, okay, this is as far as we're going, boys. And he walked towards the first one and looked like this, and they went, well, maybe we'll just think about doing this some other day. And he walked over to another one, and he walked over to another one, and he walked out. Come on now. I'm trying to help you right now. Okay, I got a bunch of coal miners that thinks, come on, I got a bunch of lost coal miners that thinks Christianity is unmanly. Okay, and they think talking like junior hires in a locker room is manly. And they don't even know what manhood's about. We've got a bunch of real rugged men in this country and in this county that needs to get a Bible definition of what manhood is. Okay, you don't become a man because you go down and can buy a little container of Skull and stick some in your mouth. That didn't turn you into a man. Are you listening to me? You're not a man because, you know what, you can use the Lord's name in vain. You're not a man because you can sneak over and get some of daddy's cigarettes and sneak behind the barn and smoke. What I'm saying is there's a whole bunch of young men in this country and in this county that's got a messed up definition of what manhood is. I don't care how many weights you can press and how hard you can hit a baseball. If you ain't man enough to walk through the door of a church on Sunday morning, you ain't much of a man. You say, preacher, what if people outside hear what you said? This is going on the radio next Sunday morning, all right? So let me continue. Okay, you're out there listening in radio land. You're not man enough to set an alarm clock, man enough to get out of bed, man enough to grab a King James Bible, and man enough to lead your wife and your children in the church house. Don't talk to me about manhood. All right, what we need is some real men. Some real men. I keep trying to preach on Jesus loves the little children, and I don't know. I'm trying to get back to that. I need to get back over here. He loves them while they're in the womb. He loves them in the nursery. Here's this man's man, and he's preaching, he's teaching. And all of a sudden, he sees a bunch of these mothers that bring the little babies, and all of a sudden, he sees a commotion, and the disciples are saying, no, he don't have time, and Jesus discerns what's happening. He said, hey, you suffer the little children to come unto me. Such is the kingdom of God. And you know what? Those mothers brought those babies, those little toddlers, they come over. You don't think that those children, listen, you can't fool children, you can't fool dogs. If kids and dogs don't like you, there's something wrong with you, amen. Now, listen, if cats don't like you, that's a good thing, all right? If cats like you, I'm a little worried about you. Not the ladies, but you men, I'm a little worried about you, all right? And those little, can't you see there was something they knew? Something they knew. I can see those little toddlers, and buddy, when they finally, the disciples got out of the way, usher, stop, you know, bring them kids, and ran out. I can just imagine running over and grabbing Jesus' leg, looking up in his eyes. They knew there was something. There was something there. Amen. He picks them up, what's your name, and talks with them. Picks another one up, gets one on his back, picks another one up, gets down on his knees, plays with them for a while, puts his hands on their heads, blesses them, Lord bless them. Father, take care of these children. How about that? How about that? Hey, Blessed Old Baptist Church, I said it in my prayer, but we're blessed with children. But with blessing comes responsibility. Comes responsibility. When I see those kids, Brother Jeff, I feel blessed. But I also feel, I'm talking to my usher back in the foyer, amen. I also feel a huge weight of responsibility because God's brought us these young people. We've got to love them like Jesus loved them. We've got to pray for them like Jesus would pray for them. We need to bless them like Jesus would bless them. We need to raise them up as if Jesus himself was in charge of the whole thing. In every Sunday school room, in every children's church, in the master's club. You know what I want those kids to feel? I want them to feel the love of God. I was in a house a couple weeks ago, me and my wife, and there's a little girl. First time I've ever been there, a little girl. She's been coming on the bus, went by to visit and meet her parents. And she's just sitting there looking at me and my wife the whole time, just like this. It's just the cutest, just beautiful little, about that big. She was here this morning. She was on the stage. And her grandma told me the bus in Worthington. They live on the curve there, all right? Bus in Worthington. We just did some reshuffling, and the bus in Worthington used to go by their house, pick them up, then go get Worthington, come back. And she saw the bus go by, and you all didn't stop. And I think you got a phone call. Didn't you get a phone call about that? And this girl is crying her eyes out. And her grandmother's telling me that. She said, and I said, well, you worked it out. Yeah, we worked it out. It's no problem. It's just that she thought that they left her and they were going to pick them up and come back by. And then she looked at me and she said, she loves coming to church. And I looked down and she smiled as big as she can. And it's just like, you know what? What day is it, Grandma? What day is it, Grandma? Well, it's Thursday. Well, how many more till Sunday? What day is it, Grandma? It's Friday. Well, how many more till Sunday? Folks, listen to me. I want to be the kind of church where the kids can't wait till Sunday. Preacher, I'm not sure about all the things you guys do around here. Well, you go ahead and sit there and be not sure about it. But you know what? I want some of the greatest memories of the kids in this area to be the days they came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves the little children. He loves them while they're in the womb. He loves them while they're in the nursery. Jesus loves children when they come to the age of accountability. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look at these verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are told about a preacher who was saved as a boy, a preacher who was saved as a child. By the way, you're listening today to a preacher that was saved as a little boy, as a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14, 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And this is Paul, the apostle, the old preacher, writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus loves the little children when they come to the age of accountability. Preacher, what's that? What's the age of accountability? Well, let me say this. The age of accountability is the age of comprehension. Okay? Maybe we ought to call it that, the age of comprehension. Because until they're at an age where they can comprehend the truths of the gospel, then they are not accountable for the truths of the gospel. Are you with me on that? By the way, I want to say this, and every once in a while I hear about a preacher that preaches otherwise, and they're wrong. They're wrong. If a little baby or a little child passes away before they've reached the age of accountability, the age of comprehension, you know what? Jesus takes care of them. They're safe in the arms of Jesus. I can go back and talk to you about David, King David. And you know what God told him when his baby died? He said, he can't come to you, but one of these days you'll go to him. You know what? That's good enough for me. I'll put my hand right there and say, you know what? God came down and took care of those babies. We have ladies all across this auditorium that, you know what, in your past there's been a miscarriage. We've had people in the auditorium have to go to baby land and take a newborn baby or a baby that's not very old and you know what, put them in the hands of Jesus. And it isn't a comfort to know that, you know what, before they can comprehend the gospel, that they're safe. Sometimes people, preachers say, well, preacher, are they saved? And you know what I tell them? They're safe. Amen. Amen, they're safe. God takes care of them. But there's going to be a point in time that they come to the age of comprehension, which means they come to the age of accountability. You aren't accountable for that which you can't comprehend. By the way, we have some special needs kids that are born onto this planet, and some attend this church that may be in their 30s and 40s, but they've never come to the age of comprehension. Say, preacher, what about them? Are they saved? They're safe. But in the normal situation, as we grow, as they're able to comprehend the idea of sin, comprehend the idea of punishment, comprehend the idea of a substitute that was given for them, comprehend the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they begin to comprehend, they become accountable for what they've comprehended. And you know what? It's been so much fun through the years to watch Jesus love them special when they reach that age of comprehension and accountability. Watch this. I want to see if I can help you. You know what the Bible says right here? Look at it again. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. You know, some of the most important children's workers that you saw walk through that door a minute ago have never seen a young person saved in their class. I introduced a teacher to you that's teaching for her 40th year, and she for 40 years has taught 2- and 3-year-olds. By the way, my brain can't even comprehend that. No, I'd have climbed on top of the church and jumped off. I have certain gifts and certain abilities. Now, I'll go back and play with them, and I'll color with them, but to try to make them sit still and listen to me, that ain't going to happen, you know. I mean, we've got teachers in the school that are saying, preacher, please stop coming and visiting the school. It takes us half a day to settle the kids down once you've been out there. And so I know how to get them to misbehave. I haven't been able to figure out how to get them to behave. That's why we have people to do that around here. But you know what? It's sweet to watch Sister Nancy. But you say, preacher, then why is it important that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture? You know what she's doing? She's laying a foundation. You know what those nursery workers are doing when they're walking around carrying those babies, some of them that sometimes aren't real happy? If you don't believe in a sin nature and a fallen nature, just put 2 kids in the nursery with 1 toy and you'll understand that we're all born sinners, all right, okay? And sometimes the little one's not feeling good or they've got a little touch of the colic, and And you know what? Here's a nursery worker, and she's either rocking them in the chair, she's walking around holding them, and she's singing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Listen, I love this. You know what? I used to hand our grandchildren to my dad, and you know what my dad would say the first time he'd hold the grandkids? He'd ooh and ah over them, then he'd lean down and say, I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Say, preacher, what are you wasting your breath for? They don't understand. I don't know what they understand, what they don't understand. All I know this, the best chance for a kid to get saved is from a child that they know the Holy Scriptures. You know, I put out on the sign, John 3:16, just the reference. Did you read the sign? And then I put, can you quote it? And I've driven by it about 10 times since then, thinking there, I could take that bottom line and I could put this down. Can your children quote it? That's the question. I mean, honestly, I think I'm going door-to-door visitation. I'm going to stop asking. Maybe that's the question I'd open up with. You know what, folks, we're raising an entire generation of young people that can't even quote John 3:16. We're bringing in kids that are in their teens that's never heard the story of Adam and Eve. I'm not saying in Africa or in Russia, communist Russia. I'm talking about in the United States of America. Never heard the story of David and Goliath or Daniel in the lion's den. What in the world is going on in America? We're in our post-Christian phase, post-Christian age. So many young couples have turned their back on God. And they want to talk about, well, I don't believe in religion. They do too. Their religion is humanism. It's as much a religion as Christianity. Humanism. Believing that they've made a God out of themselves, out of the human race. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Nothing's sweeter than to watch a child grow up. And, you know, they get around it and they start hearing about sin. And they start hearing about the cross. And they start hearing about the crucifixion and the birth of Jesus on, they hear about the birth of Jesus on Christmas. They hear about the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. And that happens when they're a toddler and when they're one and when they're two and when they're three and when they're four. And they go to Sunday school and they learn the Bible. And at some point, usually around four, maybe five, six, sometimes 7 years of age, all of that comes together. That's for me. That's for me. God did all that for me. Not just for the whole world, for me. And the Holy Spirit of God comes into the heart of a child and begins to convict them about their sin and their need to be saved. And how many of you parents, at some point, can you remember back when your children knocked on your door late at night? Maybe you're already gone to bed. Are you sick? No, Mommy, I need to talk to you. I need to be saved. Whew! I think during those sweet years of transition, I think during those times the beginnings of comprehension, I think that God surrounds that child and protects that child and loves that child, just keeps loving him to himself. And that's why, listen, man, I'm going to just say it. You know how many parents had little children and they came to a church for a while and they kept them in church for a while and then something happened that they didn't agree with and they pulled their children out of church and rob their children. Listen, folks, there ain't no perfect church in the world. And you know what? I don't care where you go. Something's going to happen sooner or later that you're not going to agree with, all right? I'm sorry. You know what? I was telling people, the young adults in our class, folks, listen, the church isn't a place where a bunch of perfect people gather so we can admire each other's perfection. It's not a museum dedicated to perfect people. It's a hospital where a bunch of sinners that are saved by grace come in. And you know what we do? We get our weekly infusion that'll help us fight against the flesh and the devil and temptation and the world. We're all just a work in progress. Okay, well, I'm disappointed because so-and-so, they let me down. Listen, I'm not for hypocrites, but you know what? The sincerest people in the world are going to fail from time to time. Hey, cut them a little slack. All right. You're not supposed to have your eyes on people anyway. You're supposed to have your eyes on Jesus. All right. How about that? That'll keep you going. That'll keep you going. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. that, you know what, it's a wonderful thing when these children are brought up into the nursery and they're brought up in Sister Nancy's 2 and 3 year old department. I keep stopping there. I can't remember who told me this the other day. Maybe it was Brother Chad. And I don't know, Sister Darla, if she does this every week, but Brother Chad was telling, maybe it was Brother Jeff Reiser, I can't remember. But she said that, you know what, Sister Nancy will look at the 2 and 3 year olds and tell them that Jesus loves them. Then she'll walk over and she'll put her hand on their head and say, and Jesus loves Scarlet. And they start telling me about this and I'm weeping. Say, can they understand everything at that age? No, but they can look in that teacher's eyes with that sweet, simple faith and hear those words. And somewhere, something starts in their heart. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Woo! Oh, this is fun. This is fun. Jesus loves children when they come to the age of accountability. Jesus loves children enough to communicate with each one individually. I won't go there because of time, but 1 Samuel chapter 3, we hear the voice of God called down to a child. A child. The Bible said when Samuel was a child, God started calling his name. And I remember when Jerry Ross was a child, 5, 6 years old, Rock Run Baptist Church. I kept going there and listening, and I began to hear God deal with me and call my name. And by the way, God doesn't just love everybody. He loves you. Every single one of you. Aren't you glad that God still communicates individually? He communicates with them about salvation. Once they get saved, he communicates with them about the importance of baptism. I was talking to 2 young ladies that just got saved here recently. And they're coming Easter Sunday. And their dad agreed to come on Easter Sunday and watch them get baptized. How much fun is that going to be on Easter Sunday? Pray the devil don't get in the way of that, you know. But you know what? I didn't have to twist their arm. You know what? It's amazing when I begin to talk about this thing of baptism. You know what? It's almost immediately their heads were bobbing. One of them said, I was wanting to talk to you about that. Because God had already started working before I could even get to them. And then after they get baptized, there's something inside of a saved person that says, you know what, I don't want to just attend church. I want to join a church. I want to become a part of it. And then they get a burden for the lost. And then God begins to deal with things in their life. And one at a time, they take these little steps and they realize, you know, I've got to put away this in my life. I'm a Christian now. I can't do this anymore. And I've got to change some things over here. And God's so patient. He deals with us one by one. And by the way, church, listen, God was patient with you. Let's be patient with each other, all right? Okay, don't expect the people that get saved here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, in 6 months or a year to be where it's taken you 30 years to get. You know what? Let's love everybody that walks in that door. I don't care where they're at in their Christian growth. They're welcome here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's just love them. So we see God just communicate. But I want to end with one last thought, and that's this. Jesus loves children even when they're no longer children. You say, preacher, you came here and I came here today and you told me Jesus loves the little children. What about me? I'm not a kid anymore. Yeah, I know. But you used to be. And you know what? From the moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb, God in heaven looked down and he loved you. And he's loved you all these years. And you know, before you were even a twinkle in your mother's eye, way back 2,000 years ago, Jesus came down from heaven and became a baby too and grew up sinless and died on a cross to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. How much does God love me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. One preacher said this, how much did Jesus love you? He loved you this much. And he stretched out his hand and let him nail each of those hands to an old rugged cross. That's how much he loves you today. Preacher, I'm not a kid. Well, you know what? I've watched people, young people in this church get saved at 5 years of age, and I've watched 80-year-old people walk down the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you know what? God doesn't care. Maybe you didn't get a chance to be saved when you were a child, but you know what? You got a chance this morning at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you're not out in the world where someone's going to laugh if you do it. You're right here where everybody's going to rejoice if you're going to do it. If you died right now, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Can you lay your pillow at your head on your pillow at night and not worry about what would happen if you were to die or the trumpet would sound and Jesus were to come back? Do you know that you know that you know that you're born again? If not, we want you to be saved this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll take the Bible preaching this morning, the Word of God, the words of God, and deal with each of our hearts. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they'd be saved today. Lord, thank you for in recent weeks, the honor of seeing people saved, some here on the property, some out on visitation, but it's been a joy to watch you work in people's lives. And Lord, we pray, dear God, even now. Lord, I remember back. I know what it is to sit in a church lost. I know what it is to sit in a church unsaved. I know what it is to sit in a church pew and feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The best day of my life was the day I stepped out, walked forward, let somebody take the Bible and show me how I could be saved. Lord, if there's even one here without you this morning, I pray that they'd be born again. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, we have a couple men here at the front, and we're going to, not right now, but just in a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to let the piano player play, and we're going to offer you an opportunity to respond to the message of salvation. If you're here and you've never been saved, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you'll just step over to the nearest aisle, come to the front, and come to one of these two men. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, they'll get a man to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. The decision is yours. We want to show you how. You have to decide. And if you'd like to be saved this morning, don't you let the devil talk you out of it. Just as soon as we stand, as soon as you hear the first note of the piano, just head to the aisle, come on up here, and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Heavenly Father, please bless the invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.